Welcome to Pack Mentality. I'm Matt Banwart. My wife, Caitlin, and I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California. And we started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Today, we're chatting with Red Wolf five-year vet, Andrea, who has an amazing fitness journey. She's going to be chatting with us today about her entire process and what she does in fitness and some of the experiences she's had. So, Andrea, welcome. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you? You excited?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Let's get right into it. So let's actually start at the beginning. What interested you in fitness in the first place, and what did you kind of do before CrossFit?
Yeah, so I started my CrossFit journey actually after I had got diagnosed with breast cancer. So prior to that, I really was going to, you know, LA Fitness and trying to figure out what I should be doing at the gym every day. And it wasn't necessarily structured or coordinated. So I never felt really supported, nor did I feel like what I was doing was reaping any benefits, right? But I wasn't unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I just simply was trying to kind of figure out what to do and was just doing a lot of different things based on, you know, social media or things that you're seeing that are kind of like the it thing to mm-hmm. be doing. And that really changed because I got sick and I really wanted to transform my life and make decisions that were really going to help me in that journey. So I took on CrossFit, and it was, you know, my husband actually, who was like, hey, why don't you try CrossFit? You know, I knew Lorraine, who of course is also a member, as a friend, and she was doing it. So he's like, why don't you contact her? And that really was what started my journey in CrossFit.
That's awesome. So friend of a friend. Nice. I like it. And then your husband tried to push you towards it. Let's go on and get into a little more detail of what you were doing. So how long were you kind of doing like the LA Fitness stuff, and kind of walk us through more detail of what you were doing before you started CrossFit?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've always been, you know, relatively, I know this is probably not a PC way of saying it, but like skinny fat. So I've been, you know, relatively fit person my whole life, but I was never really, you know, looking for the being extremely focused on what I eat or, you know, the muscle mass and all of those different things. It was always more like aesthetic, right? Mm-hmm. So as long as I looked okay and as long as I looked fine in a bikini, like it was not necessarily like well-established goals in the sense of, you know, I want to have X percent body fat or mm-hmm. really thinking about all of those things. So normally it would, you know, be things like go to LA Fitness and do, you know, the Stairmaster or, you know, go to the treadmill or do, you know, some squats or something along those lines. But it didn't necessarily have any sort of, like I mentioned previously, structure. Mm. Everything was, oh, I've seen this being done, or this person that's at the gym right now looks good and they're doing this exercise, so maybe, you know, I should try it myself. So
I got it. So you kind of just saw it on social media, on Instagram or something. Yeah. Like, hey, let me give this a shot.
Yeah.
And when you did do that, did you actually look at specifically what they're doing in terms of reps, sets, and everything, or did you just see the movement and you're like, I'm just gonna try that?
Yeah, so normally, you know, some influencers or some type of, you know, workout comes with the type of reps and how many of them you should do, or like some type of inclination of as to like the weight you should be using. So normally if it did have that, of course I would, you know, follow it. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it was just like a concoction of different things that wasn't really structured in a way where I feel it was benefiting me to the best of, you know, that exercise ability.
Right. Okay. So it's kind of almost like you were just, you were at like a fitness buffet and you were just kind of picking and choosing what you saw kind of look good and giving that a shot and kind of seeing where it went from there.
Yeah. I think, you know, now looking back and having, you know, much more structured kind of like fitness regimen with the CrossFit world and just, you know, at Red Wolf, the exercise itself was really good, right? Mm-hmm. It could have definitely given me the results needed. But it was the fact that I wasn't necessarily educated in regards to, oh, you need to pair it with this other exercise, right, to get the best benefit possible. It was, you know, I'm doing one set of this and then I'm jumping off to some, you know, completely different body part that, yeah, has nothing to do with, you know, the muscle that I just worked. So I wasn't necessarily like fatiguing the muscle or being, you know, emphasizing on that part of the body for that particular day.
Yeah, absolutely. So it kind of shows that, it, you know, that just doing things that you see and then just kind of copying people doesn't really work in the long term. May work for short term, may give you some ideas, but at the end of the day, you need some sort of structure and progression and some sort of guidance to make sure that you are actually, you know, actually progressing, because otherwise you're just wasting your time.
Oh yeah. And for me, I am always saying this, I need a lot of structure. I'm not the type of person that can show up and I'm intuitive with, right, what needs to get done. I have a lot of stuff going on outside of my, you know, fitness life where I need things to be very much so like I can walk in, it's already been thought out for me, yeah, what I need to get done and I execute, mm-hmm, right? So I think that's really important from personally, like that is what works best for me versus I think, of course, there are going to be other individuals who can thrive in a more independent environment. But what I have found with, you know, the CrossFit community is you get to push yourself because you're working alongside other people. You're doing the same type of, mm-hmm, workouts. So I think it gives you some type of benchmark as to like, okay, I'm really progressing, or, you know, this person seems to be, you know, doing the same movement and, you know, they're far less in their journey. So I think it can give you some type of, you know, benchmark as to like how much more you need to work on something or, you know, be able to further progress.
I love that. That's such a great way to put it, because I think a lot of times, and at least when I first started my fitness journey as well, I didn't really have good context on what was good, what was bad, even in terms of like my progress or even if I was doing it right in the first place. And then it got to the point where I was actually overtraining. I was working out 7 days a week, like 2 hours, and I was, you know, I was burned out, but I was like, what, we know why, you
yeah.
know, like I didn't even understand. So now it's like, if I would have had guidance, I would have made, you know, so much more progression in actually less time and effort and sacrifice.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I even think, you know, four and a half years, almost 5 years that I've been coming to Red Wolf. And I started at, you know, 110 pounds and 34% body fat.
Wow.
Like, wow, just to think, you know, I was skinny.
Mm-hmm.
But like to think that is the amount of percent of fat that I had in me. And, you know, in the last 4 years, I've dropped it to, you know, 17%, which is still not great and not necessarily where I want to be. But just
it's very healthy, though.
Right. You know, it's like a completely drastic thing. And it's, you know, I come six times a week usually. And it's, you know, not necessarily any more time consuming than what I was spending at, you know, LA Fitness prior to that. And I'm seeing like insane results, and mm-hmm. I continue to see them. So I definitely think it's valuable to have that structure, to have that community, and to be able to have someone that has that knowledge and who, you know, is studying and looking at trends and kind of validating those workouts for you versus you kind of going into, you know, the plethora of like social media and seeing some influencer doing it, or they're trying to sell you, you know, their whatever 30-day, you know, transformation plan, and you know that's not necessarily sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I really like how you put that of where, you know, structure and making sure that things are filtered, because there is a lot of good information out there, but the problem is it's overwhelming. There's so many programs out there. Everybody's trying to sell something. I see it all the time. And a lot of them are actually really good, but what's going to be the best for you, and what's going to be the best that can actually be customized towards you and your goals, and how can, you know, a lot of those online programs aren't going to actually track your progress and see, is this actually improving or are you just wasting time and money? And yeah, I mean, I like what you said about your body fat percentage of being at 17% now, and where, you know, it may not be where you want to be. It's very sustainable. You're enjoying yourself. You're not killing yourself in the gym every day, and you're still able to live a lifestyle that isn't dedicated solely to the gym.
No, absolutely. I mean, I definitely tell this to Caitlin all the time, but you know, I don't get hungry. That's my biggest problem, is I don't eat enough calories, right? Mm-hmm. And that is definitely what is impeding me and right. kind of plateauing me at the moment. But, you know, I think it's really important for individuals to look at health from like a long-term perspective, right? Because I think like social media and just in general, people have kind of glamorized, you know, fitness. And I think they have made it to seem and sound like it's added work when I think it should be part of who you are, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that many individuals want the immediate results without putting any effort or putting in any of the work involved to live the healthy lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. I see it all the time with individuals who are like, oh, you know, you're so lucky that you've gotten so toned and all this stuff. And I'm like, it's not luck. Like, I'm at the gym all the time. I've had to make a lot of sacrifices. I've had to push myself mentally quite a lot from, you know, I've come from a restrictive mindset of like, I can't do that. Like, you know, I've never lifted double my body weight and that's like impossible to think of. So I feel, you know, getting rid of that mindset of like, oh, I need it to be done in X amount of time. While those goals are great, I think, you know, you need to be realistic with where you are and where you want to go, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know my goal when I first started, I was like, hey, in 5 years, I want to be able to like be a lot more fit. And I feel, you know, from 34% to 17%, that's pretty good. And I'm not
standing.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily stopping, right? So for me, it's like the long game of like, how do I make fitness so embedded into my life where it's now a requirement, right? Yeah. It's a lifestyle. So I've done it in a way where I now can't go back to not working out, to not eating healthy, versus some of these like 30-day crash courses or, you know, lose 10 pounds in 30 days. What's going to happen is in a month from now, you're going to be the exact same weight, if not more, right? If you stop doing it.
Yeah. I see that all the time.
Yeah. And it's, you know, habits that you have to create. And I think time is the only kind of thing that you can do to create really good habits.
Yeah. And kind of going back to what you said earlier, I hear that from other people as well, from other members who have other friends or family members or whatever, who tell them, oh, you're so lucky that you are like this, as if it's luck and not calculated. I mean, you work out at 5 a.m. So please tell me how that is lucky.
Well, you know, it's very rough to wake up every day at 4:30 to, you know, go work out first thing in the morning. And sometimes people are like, oh, but you're so motivated. There are days where I'm completely unmotivated to wake up at 5 a.m., right? And my motivation is telling me, like, stay in bed. It's so warm and cozy. And, you know, you want to succumb to that idea. And really what has helped me is I'm just determined to, like, meet my goals. Like, determination is what drives me versus I think a lot of people look for motivation in being able to do things. And I say, if you have a goal, like you need to have that desire and that drive to, no matter how you're feeling, you're just going to execute, right? And I think that personally for me has been what has worked, because for so long it was always the excuse of, oh, I'm not motivated, or I need motivation to really be able to like drive myself to the gym at 4:30 in the morning. But, you know, I've done it for so long, and it's, you know, almost for 4.5 years straight that I've been coming at 5 a.m. And if I don't show up at 5 a.m., it's how am I going to make up that workout in the course of the day and fit it into my schedule?
Yeah.
Right. So it's not an excuse of, hey, I didn't make it to 5 a.m. I'm checking out for the day. I'm not going to do something.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You've actually flipped it on its head and be like, how can I find an excuse to still make this happen?
Yeah.
You don't really see people doing that. It's like people will find every excuse to avoid something, but they will never find an excuse to actually do something.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you know, it's in my opinion, it's sometimes really sad how like we kind of talk ourselves negatively, right? Of like, oh, I can't do that workout, or I can't show up at 5 a.m. and do a workout because, you know, I need to eat first, or we just start to make up all these things of like what we feel we need. But the body's really resilient. I mean, you know, I used to be more of a night owl, and I used to always think that I was best and most effective at night. And this was like back in college, so I would always stay up really late, and that's when I would do like all my papers and work. And when I met my husband's the complete opposite. We met in college, and he's very much so like up at 3:30 in the morning every single day. I mean, it could be a Saturday, it could be a Sunday, and he's up at 3:30 in the morning. And I've changed to now be like a morning person. So I'm up at every day, no matter what, at 4:30, I'm up and about, no matter if I'm showing up to the gym or not.
Yeah.
And I've just made it an intention of saying, no matter how I feel, no matter like what the circumstances are, like I'm showing up at that time.
Yeah.
And not making any excuses.
Yeah.
I'm holding myself accountable. Of course, there's days where, you know, I sleep in, or I, you know, turn off my alarm and cancel class. And, you know, my husband is like, why didn't you go to a 5 a.m. class? Like, what time are you going to go to alternatively? So really surrounding yourself by people that have that mindset as well, right?
Yeah, I really like how you said that, because I fully believe that your environment is really what truly will shape your success in the long term, especially. And kind of going off that, like, I know you've had a lot of struggles. Let's kind of get into your main story, which is, can you talk to us about, you know, your breast cancer and, you know, what that was like and going through that? And yeah, give us that story.
No, definitely. So I was actually diagnosed when I was 26.
Okay.
Which, you know, when you historically have heard of women getting breast cancer, it's much later on in their lives. So, of course, that came to a shock to me. And I actually found out while I was on a work trip. I was extremely stressed out.
Yeah.
And I was traveling for work, and I started to get a really weird chest pain. And I couldn't, you know, the pain was just persistent and it wouldn't go away. And so by like day three of being on this work trip, I got like this really almost like a cramp on my chest while I was showering. And I tried to apply pressure to kind of relieve it, like kind of like pressure point therapy. And I felt a lump in my breast, and I was oh my gosh. Well, you know, I was 26. I was like, is that normal? Like, is it supposed to be there? Like, you know, I had no clue like what it was. So I was like, I've always been very proactive with my health.
Right.
In the sense of like, if I had a cold, I was packing my bag to the doctor's office right away. Like, I'm not the type of person who's like, I'm going to wait it out a few days. I'm going to like let it pass by. I've always kind of, in a sense, been like a hypochondriac of like, I need to go check right away and just remove it from like, you know, my mind and not be stressed by it.
Right.
So I called my gynecologist on a Friday. I was like, I need to see you like on Monday.
Yeah.
Because I just need you to validate and check this to make sure that, you know, I'm okay. So she saw me on Monday, and she, you know, did an examination, and she said, well, you know, you're really young. So normally women at your age have really dense breasts, and therefore it's kind of normal to get like benign tumors, and it's not something to be alarmed of. And I kind of fought back. I was like, well, can we just do validation so that I have peace of mind? Because back to the point of like, I'm a hypochondriac, and if not, I would just think about it and it would consume me. So she's like, yeah, of course, like, you know, happy to send you to get an ultrasound done. So she sends me downstairs to get an ultrasound. And I think from there, it kind of, you know, spiraled a bit. So I got an ultrasound and the doctor's like, it looks, cancer cells don't aren't uniform. So when they see it through the ultrasound, it almost looks like, you know, when you drop some spaghetti sauce on the floor and it splatters.
Yeah.
It has that kind of texture and consistency.
Interesting.
So they were like, it has a really weird form, so we're going to have to do like a biopsy on you. Mm-hmm. So I had to go the following day to get a biopsy done. So they cut you, take samples. So all that transpired in a course of a week.
Wow.
And the following Monday, I get the call from my gyno. Then honestly, this is like, so it felt like I was in a movie, because I've always known that when a doctor personally calls you, it's never to give you good news, right? So I was like, already, as soon as I heard her, I kind of had like this feeling of like, this is not necessarily going to be good news. So she, you know, is talking to me. She's like, hey, I just want to tell you, like, you know, it's not good news. Like, you've been, you know, diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I just remember briefly being kind of like super shocked by it, and then saying, okay, well, what's next? Like, what do I need to do? And so she's like, I'm gonna give you the phone number to a surgical oncologist so you can get in contact with her and kind of, you know, get the process started. So she put me in contact. 2 days later, I was seeing a surgical oncologist. And up until that moment, I had not cried.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a pretty emotional person, but I'm also very resilient in the sense of like, things don't really throw me off. And while it's very shocking to hear like, hey, the probably like the worst word in the language, right? Cancer. It wasn't really like, I don't know if it was I had not digested the news yet. I was just kind of like in shock mode or whatnot. I didn't allow myself to like feel like doomsday.
Yeah,
I was just like, okay, what needs to happen? Like, what do I need to do to like just overcome this and, you know, move on to the next thing? So I saw my surgical oncologist, and she's like, you know, almost stage three cancer. Wow. So, you know, more on the aggressive side. So it's, everything is much more fast paced. Everything's very critical that you action right away. So I was supposed to leave to Europe that Friday. So she's like, I recommend you cancel your trip. You start a fertility treatment. You have surgery in 3 weeks. So it all kind of, you know, came crashing all at once. Mind you, I was 26. I had no idea if I wanted to have kids, and I had to be making these executive decisions. Right. You know, I was in the peak of like thinking, you know, oh, I'm going to go to Europe and enjoy. And now it's like, I have to make all these like life altering decisions. And am I making the right decision? Mm-hmm. And kind of, you know, that short time frame that you have. And I will say one of the two times that I did cry in the whole process of this was when she was talking about like the whole fertility process, and she was asking me all these questions like, do you want to have kids? Do you have a partner that you want to, like, you know, do the embryos with? And it was all very overwhelming for me because, you know, as I just mentioned, I was young and I didn't really know or or kind of have like a way to digest this information. So that was probably like the first and most impactful thing that I felt was making those decisions for, you know, undergoing a fertility treatment. But after that, it was back to back. I had 4 surgeries in a year. Wow. So thankfully, the tumor was encapsulated, so I didn't have to do chemo. I got a really low, it's called the Oncotype score. Mm-hmm. So they test your tumor to see like the rate it spreads. So it was on the lower side. So that equals you don't necessarily have to undergo chemotherapy, but I was on medication for 5 years. I actually just stopped a few months ago.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. And so it was a roller coaster, right? Because I couldn't work out for a full year. Mm. I was put on hormone suppressants. My body was changing a lot.
Yeah.
And I felt completely not in control of the whole situation, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like I was there for the ride versus I can dictate what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that was a big reason why I chose CrossFit and especially Red Wolf, because I loved the structure that it was able to bring to my life. Mm-hmm. In a moment of like a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah.
And also a lot of weakness, right? I was very vulnerable physically, mentally, emotionally, and it was a great outlet for me to be able to, you know, come and learn to accept my body again,
right.
Learn to be able to do some of the movements that I was able to do so before, but now, you know, I was unable to completely do. It was like starting from ground zero.
Wow. What a story. That was intense. And I haven't even heard the full story yet. I mean, I knew you had breast cancer. I didn't know how serious it was. I wasn't aware of the 4 surgeries. I didn't know that it went from 0 to 100 in a matter of days. That's insane. So
yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
No, definitely. And I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's forever going to follow me, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just had a surgery a month ago for the same thing, for a recall. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you're put in these situations that are outside of your control, right? Like cancer was out of control for me. I always thought to myself, what are the things in my life that I can control?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that adds a lot of balance to the life. And I felt, you know, fitness, taking care of myself, like what do I eat? Who do I hang out with? Like who am I bringing into my circle is what I was able to control. And I think that's a really important aspect that people sometimes miss, right? They let some of these circumstances that are out of control kind of spiral them versus saying, hey, let me focus on the things that I can control and make sure that, you know, they're the top-notch quality, whether that's fitness, whether, you know, that's friends, mm-hmm. et cetera.
No, wow. Wow. I'm still processing everything. That was intense. So were you cancer-free after a year, after the surgeries?
Yeah, okay. So I was cancer-free actually after my first surgery.
Okay.
Yeah, and the other surgeries were much more like reconstructive and going back and fixing some of the stuff that, you know, when you go into the first surgery, it's everything is like, let's attack and, you know, just mm-hmm. make sure that we remove the root cause and then think about like next steps.
Yeah, exactly.
Thankfully for me, I always tell people this, I feel like I got, you know, very lucky in the sense that it was an easy process in comparison to other people that have to go through the same mm-hmm. experience that I have. I have friends that, you know, they were misdiagnosed for months before they were, you know, told that they had a later stage type of cancer.
Wow.
They had to go through chemo. They had to go through radiation. So I always tell people, like, you know, I went through an easy process. It was all very straightforward. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a lot of, you know, kind of like the chemo thing, which is can be taxing on your body. So I always tell people, like, I feel like I was lucky in the sense that, you know, I didn't necessarily have to go through those things,
right?
Versus other people, you know, aren't as lucky and have to go through a much more extensive treatment.
Wow. Wow. So yeah, what a story. I'm still blown away. So when you joined Red Wolf, how long was that after you were cleared to exercise?
I think it was about 3 or 4 months after my last surgery.
Oh, okay. So that's actually a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah.
There. Okay.
So it was a year of not being able to essentially work out, right? Because my surgeries were so back to back that by the time I recovered and went back to surgery, it didn't give me a lot of time to be able to go into the gym. And I think big reason too why when I first started, I was at 34% body fat, but I only weighed 110 pounds.
Yeah.
And so I felt like it was a very critical time for me to reset, right? Mm-hmm. I had spent a year just like getting my body trashed. I had, you know, I want to say about my first surgery, I was out for almost 8 hours.
Wow.
It was an 8-hour surgery. So a lot of, you know, anesthesia, all these chemicals in my body. It was just, I was not feeling my best and prime. And I really just wanted to take a hold of like my life and say, hey, I want to really change, you know, my body, change how I feel about myself, you know, body image too. I had, you know, done a double mastectomy, and so now it was accepting my new body.
Yeah.
So it was like a mixture of different things when I started. Mind you, when I started, it was like I could barely lift the 15-pound barbell, right? I was like, what is this? This is so heavy. I couldn't do anything. And I remember feeling so awkward, right? Because it was like all these people surrounding me that were just like lifting weight. It looked like they were, you know, gliding the weight, and they were doing double their weight and all this stuff. And here I was doing, you know, barely 30-pound squats or whatever. But I really didn't let that deter me. I was like, hey, this is where I'm starting at. People don't know my journey, but the fact that I'm here and I'm able to even do this movement, to me, it felt like I already was winning at life, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So I didn't really let those variables influence me, because I know sometimes it can be influential, right? Of like you walk in and, you know, still to this day, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the one who lifts the least in my class, especially because at 5 a.m. everyone's very competitive and, you know, everyone's really strong. But I've let go of that, you know, sentiment of like, oh, I'm going to be lifting the least amount, because I'm, you know, in a journey with myself, right? Like, I don't care what someone else is lifting, because that has no impact or influence on my life, right? So I always now try to just focus on, okay, whatever, I'm lifting only, you know, 100 pounds, but at least it's my 100 pounds, and I'm able to do this movement, you know, easily and with good form and all these things. So
yeah. Wow. Nailed it. I love it. How has that experience of dealing with going through that entire experience for an entire year and then coming back, how has that experience transformed you into the person you are today?
Oh, I think it's definitely, that is a main reason of why I am who I am today, right? I have a completely different outlook on life. I think I lost, not that I lost friends during the whole process, I just removed myself from a lot of individuals, from a lot of scenarios, from a lot of things in my life that were adding stress, that weren't aligned with, you know, my values of where I saw my life going. And it felt quite liberating, right? So I feel like going through a situation where you feel like you're going to die, because normally when you think cancer, you think, you know, this person's gonna die if they go untreated, and having that knowledge that you were able to like survive, that you were resilient enough to like push yourself through all the hurdles, all of the commotion that comes with something as traumatic as that, you're less willing to allow things to bug you.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, I don't get upset. I don't ever really scream at anyone. I don't really care what other people are doing outside of like myself. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you're aligned and in the same, you know, synchronization as me, great. Like, we'll get along. And if not, I'm not going to tell you anything, nor am I going to be upset by your presence or your being, but I'm just not going to give it energy, right? So I've removed myself from a lot of certain individuals, from a lot of like drama. I hate the drama. Like, don't, you know, follow me. I live a very like quiet life. I just remove myself from like, well, I wasn't ever really a drinker, but you know, like drinking, things that don't bring positivity to my life, right? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it's just, I value the day to day a lot more,
right,
than looking too far out into the future.
Yeah.
So I'm much more like, I'm gonna enjoy my day versus like, oh, I need to think about like what I'm gonna do in 3 days or, mm-hmm, you know, like next weekend or something along those lines.
It really seems like that experience gave you a ton of clarity.
Yes, definitely. I feel it, even though it's traumatic and in that moment, it didn't feel like there was a lot of clarity. I feel that it allowed for me to better understand like what my priorities in life should be, right? Because I think for a lot of people, that's a big struggle, right? Like figuring out what's important to them and how to get there.
Yeah.
So it helped me better understand, like, for me, these are the things that are really important in my life. And how can I, one, surround myself with people who feel the same way, and two, be in that environment 24/7, whether it's me that is allowing that or someone that is assisting me to get there.
Yeah. No, that's extremely well said. Because I think a lot of times, and I made this mistake when I was going through tough times myself, was that you know, when you're going through it, it's not enjoyable at all. But who you become on the other side of it, it's totally worth that experience sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean, look at who you've become, and look how you know, I love what you said about, you know, I'm living day to day. And I think, especially even myself, like I get so caught up on like the entire year and what's coming next, and I don't spend enough time actually enjoying and being grateful for what I have today.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it. I'm very grateful that I get to do all the things that, you know, I'm currently doing. And I don't take anything for granted. I think that's also a really important thing that a lot of people tend to do, is they take things for granted. And, you know, I can't remember, it was, you know, someone at the gym had said, oh, like, you know, something along the lines like the membership, it's so costly or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, well, do you go and get a Starbucks coffee every day? And, you know, their answer was yes. Okay, well, how often do you buy yourself like a new piece of clothing, like a new jacket or something along those lines that you're quote unquote splurging? And the answer was often, right? And I said to them, well, why is that not, like, why are you not complaining about that? But you're complaining about something that is literally helping your life and improving your life. And I said, you need to stop jeopardizing the things that are going to be really important in your life long term, right? You paying for fitness is going to be a long term benefit, right? You buying a coffee versus making it at home, or you buying a jacket that you already have 10 other jackets, is not going to bring you any long term benefit, right? And I think that for me has been kind of like the life lesson.
Yeah.
Of the things that are really important are fitness, your health, your emotional well-being, your mental health, right? Like, how do you feel mentally every day? Are you bringing yourself down? Or are you bringing yourself up, right? Those are the things that really are going to matter. And what are you doing about those every day?
Yeah.
Versus, you know, oh, I'm buying all of these things to try to make myself feel better temporarily.
Yeah.
But then it's not, you know, helping you long term.
Exactly. I think it's that dopamine hit of that short term pleasure that we get. You know, it's the same thing with the scrolling culture of Instagram. It's like I get some short term dopamine.
Yeah.
But the long term gain of that is actually very minimal. Because I mean, I can't remember, you know, there was a time last week that I was scrolling and just looking at entertaining stuff, and I was like, I don't remember a thing.
Yeah.
And not only that, it added zero value to the, you know, those 3 hours I spent scrolling gave me zero value for my future. Whereas, you know, I've almost died twice myself, and I didn't realize how quickly your health can go from extremely everything 100% okay, 100% healthy to absolute zero in a matter of hours.
Right. And it's crazy, right? Because we take our life for granted.
Mm-hmm. Until you lose it.
Right. Till something traumatic happens to you, and then you begin to value all of these different things. And you want to prolong your life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doing all of these things to try to prolong my life. Like, I got diagnosed at 26, so that kind of probably shortened my life by a bit, right? With all the surgeries and just in general. So I have to work extra hard to make sure that, you know, I'm at an even baseline from a health perspective. So I'm not trying to mess with any of that, you know? And of course, I find myself, to your point, right? Like, sometimes mindlessly scrolling through Instagram or doing things that are not of value to me. And, you know, thankfully, and honestly, I think I've mentioned my husband a lot, but my husband is very regimented and he's always like, he has no social media. He, you know, is all about like, well, why don't you read a book instead of, you know, being and scrolling through other people's lives? Like, what do you care about, you know, this person's life or whatnot? And I think we've kind of glamorized this idea of like, this is how I live my life. And, you know, it's all like pictures and certain snippets of our lives, but we're not necessarily sometimes truly representing who we are as individuals, right? So I feel like it's more important to me nowadays to be holistic and to show up to the people that I care about every day. Like, this is who I am, and this is the best version of who I am today, versus me trying to portray someone that I could potentially be on social media for individuals that I don't even see on a day-to-day basis, right?
Right.
So I think, and it's hard. I mean, I succumb to it all the time. Like, you know, it's like, oh, I want to post a picture. I want to show like what I cooked today because I'm, you know, really into cooking and all this stuff. And so it's not necessarily like a bad thing to occasionally do it, but knowing like where to draw the line and where to prioritize, you know, the things that are important to you.
Yeah, 100%. And kind of moving into specifically your fitness journey with us is, you know, how has CrossFit impacted your recovery and just your overall health in general since then?
Well, I mean, I kind of hinted to it earlier, but like for me, it's, you know, mental health, emotional health, of course, physical health, all of those have drastically changed since I've joined the gym. You know, as I mentioned, I first started and I was terribly weak. I didn't know anything about CrossFit. I didn't know any of the Olympic lifts. I had to really start from ground zero. And, you know, through that whole journey of the past 4.5 years, I mean, it's changed who I am as an individual. It's really helped me to prioritize my health, right? Also, it's given me the opportunity to, like I said, lose all that fat, see my body really change and maintain. I feel better about myself. I feel more accomplished, right? Every day at 6 a.m., while people are still sleeping, I have already, you know, finished my workout. I, you know, feel invigorated. I'm good to like go tackle the day. So it's allowed me to really feel, you know, emotionally, mentally, and physically a lot better.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny how just making it, like you said earlier, just made it an embedded part of your life, and how much that can make an impact. Just 1 hour a day can make that big of an impact for you.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, that's
And, you know, I've recently, I mean, about like 2-3 months, probably a little bit more than that, have made it now an effort to be at the gym for like 2 hours. So mm-hmm. I stay after class and I do extra work. Mm-hmm. The amount of results I was seeing before I had my surgery was incredible. Mm-hmm. And it was just that extra little effort, you know? And before, there was times where I would spend it talking with someone mm-hmm. after hours and doing all of this other stuff, right? And now I've just shifted that time frame to be like, hey, from 5 to 7 a.m. is my time to work out and to really, you know, recoup, stretch, all that good stuff. And I've seen so many like pivotal changes in my body in such a short time frame, right? But it's back to that whole thing of like really thinking about what you do with your time and being mindful and intentful, right? Showing up at the gym for an hour, like, are you really putting your best effort in that hour? Or are you not pushing yourself? Oh, yeah. I'm gonna do 20 pounds today, even though you know you could easily do 30 pound dumbbells, right? Yeah. And kind of like those little things really change your body and also change you as an individual. You become much more, I don't think aggressive is the right word, but you become much more, you know, aggressive in the sense of like, I'm going to go for this weight today. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to push myself out of my comfort zone versus I'm so comfortable here and I know that I can lift this weight mm-hmm. no matter what. I think that example right there has been what CrossFit and Red Wolf has taught me mm-hmm. is getting out of that comfort zone and pushing myself. And, you know, Kaylin's a great coach because she will look you in the eyes and say, yeah, you need to go put, you know, 50 pounds on that barbell.
Yeah, she does that.
You can totally lift that weight.
She so, knows it.
You know, it's good having people around you, coaches around you that will test your limits as well, because I feel like we get so comfortable, you know, lifting certain weights, or we're not necessarily, you know, we're letting our minds kind of control the narrative. I think that's been really great for me.
Wow. And how else has the community impacted your journey? Or did you pretty much just cover it all right there?
I think so. I think, of course, you know, I've made a lot of good friends along the way who share the values that mm-hmm. we're just talking about of, you know, prioritizing their health, showing up every day. I think the biggest thing is we hold each other accountable. So, you know, if you don't show up to 5 a.m., the next day you're going to get a, hey, why weren't you in class? Mm-hmm. Or where were you? Kind of situation. And I feel like that's really helpful back to like if you're, you know, less dedicated mm-hmm. and you're not feeling quote unquote motivated to go to 5 a.m. at least you have someone that might be holding you a little bit more to, you know, showing up.
Oh yes, 100%. That accountability, it's a love hate thing, isn't it? It's one of the things where you hate it but you also love it because you're like, I gotta do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the coach Caitlin does it to me all the time. She's like, I'll see you tomorrow at 5, right? I'm like, yes. And now in my head, I'm like, I cannot not show up.
Yeah, for it's like I've already kind of verbally committed to this and she saw me and it was in person. It wasn't a text. It wasn't a phone call and I can't just ghost it. It's like this was it.
You feel bad. Yeah. Like, I told you I would show up. Or someone, you know, I have people that will work out with me post class. So they'll say, hey, you're going to be coming to class tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. And if I say in person, yes, I am, now I'm, you know, liable to show up because I've promised that person that I would, you know, work out with them and, mm-hmm. and kind of be there for them. So I feel like that is something that I was missing. And personally for me is something that's pivotal because I don't thrive in environments where I need to like come up with the workout. Yeah. I'm not motivated to work out by myself. Like, to me, it becomes very mundane and it's not, you know, as engaging versus I'm, you know, surrounded by 20 other people and they're all like lifting heavy weights and, you know, having a great time, having conversation. It's just a much more fluid environment for yeah. me where I feel, you know, like more energized mm-hmm. And kind of willing to put in the extra effort versus, you know, I've had instances where I come work out, you know, during open gym hours and I'm just like, you know, double the time to do one workout or something.
It's not the same, like, is it? Yeah, we kind of touched on that earlier about the environment, and I like how we kind of retouched on that again, because I agree with you. You know, a lot of people are looking for motivation, but even if they have the motivation, you know, getting in that mindset of where I'm actually going to push myself out of my comfort zone is extremely difficult to do yeah. when you're on your own, or when you are just kind of copying someone else's program, or you're making it up on your own. It's like, you know, there's yeah. no accountability to the point where it's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it hard. I'm going to do it well. So
no, definitely.
Very interesting.
I would say that for me has been key. And what I love most about the community and, you know, Red Wolf is that I'm one held accountable right to the goals that I set for myself. And two, I have a bunch of individuals who share the same values, right? Like, they want to be the best versions of themselves. They show up every day, regardless of what is going on in their personal lives, regardless mm-hmm. of how stressed or, you know, whatever kind of issues they might be having. The fact that they're setting aside that time to work out and they're pushing themselves, you know, speaks volumes to the community and what, you know, they're willing to do.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Now kind of wrapping things up here is, you know, what's next for you? What's next for your fitness journey and your life beyond the gym?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like now, and I think this has been like a constant, theme, you know, during this whole conversation is I'm looking for fitness to be embedded so deep into my roots that it's just, you know, kind of like forever thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to continue to do CrossFit. I've, of course, been setting some goals aside of like things that I want to be able to achieve and trying to hold myself accountable to them. But outside of that, I just want to be able to live a long life, right? As long as I'm permitted to do so, to be healthy, to really be appreciative of the time that I get here from a personal aspect. I mean, I hope that, you know, soon I'll have kids and be able to like tinker and that mm-hmm. side of things, right? Because I haven't had the opportunity to do so because of all my treatments. So I hope that is kind of like a next chapter for me. But all in all, I would say it's just being able to be healthy, to make choices consistently that will propel me forward. And when I don't make those choices, because, you know, we're not perfect at all and we all have downfalls. And, you know, I know for sure there's days where I might have one too many cocktails or I might eat, you know, too many desserts or whatnot, is just continuing forward, right? Mm-hmm. And not letting that derail your progress of, you know, health, fitness, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Andre, any other final thoughts or words of wisdom from you before we wrap things up?
No, I would just say if, you know, there's anyone out there who's had a similar experience or not even cancer, right? Like any mm-hmm. kind of thing that has prevented them from being able to work out or show like their best version of themselves is, you know, be dedicated. That's like the biggest thing that I always tell people is sometimes the motivation won't be there, right? Because of multiple factors, but just be dedicated. And like I said, don't let the downfalls or don't let the setbacks, right, bring you down. Because all in all, at the end of the day, like no one aside from you is going to be the one that's accountable for it. And you have to live with yourself forever, right? Mm-hmm. You're like the one person you can't get away from. So I feel like show yourself a little love and prioritize your health and fitness. You know, like I said, personally speaking, it's been life changing for me. And I've made a lot of changes in my life to ensure that, you know, I can come to class every day, that I can do, if, you know, I've personally needed it, like personal training sessions. I've prioritized that in my life, and I've cut back or I've made adjustments to ensure that that has been able to happen. So just, you know, be mindful of that is kind of what I have to say.
Well, 100%. No, this was a fantastic story, and I'm glad that we finally got to tell it so others can hear it and be inspired and help them, you know, not get motivated, but do it despite of their motivation or how they feel that they will still continue to do it or start on their own. So Andrea, thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure to have you today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave us a review so that way we know to make more content just like this. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit, and feel free to DM your content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, good luck. Have fun. Nailed it.